Let it start with me, or let it start with you. Both are, I think, great messages. And our second scripture to read reading this morning takes us to a story where we see it starting with someone unexpected, someone that we wouldn't think it should start with. And yet, she brings all that she has so that it can start with her. We're going to look at a passage from Mark dealing with a widow, a poor widow. And I think this passage, along with the ones from Acts, has a lot to say to us as the church. We spend a lot of time worrying about, do we have enough as the church? Do we have enough money? Do we have enough members? Do we have enough families? Are we caring enough for our congregation? And I think what we're going to find with these two passages is that the answer to that question is always yes. But not because of anything that we have or that we can do, but because of God. So let's listen to Mark, and we'll look at Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. This is the story of the poor widow. Jesus sat down opposite the treasure and watched the crowd putting money into the treasure. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then Jesus called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." This is the word of God to us this morning. Would you pray with me? Loving and gracious God, we thank you for bringing us to this place, for welcoming us here as your children. God, we do come to you with so many different things going on in our lives that are good, bad, right, wrong, indifferent. And yet, God, you welcome us all here. You love us all the same. And God, we pray through our hymns and through our songs and through our prayers and through your word that our hearts and minds can be open to you. That the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts are pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So last week, we spent some time talking about charity. And how charity is the perfect expression of our faith because it sees the face of Jesus in others. We also talked about how charity doesn't ask questions. Charity just does. Acting on impulse, though, is easier said than done. Most of the time when we see someone in need, a series of questions run through our minds. Questions like, do I have something to give them? Will they use my charity wisely, or will they just go buy drugs with it? They have a cell phone and wear Air Jordans. Are they really in need? Now, the problem is, if we ask ourselves, or I should say, if we're asking ourselves these questions, then are we really seeing the face of Jesus in the other? Or does it say more about our attitude towards those in need? In the United States, we have a bottom line mentality. We always want to know what the bottom line is. Whether it be financial, emotional, mental, physical, or spiritual, when we're asked to give of ourselves, we want to know, how much is it going to cost? How much time will it take? How much energy will it take? Why am I doing this? You see, our bottom line attitude then also carries over to how we view others, especially those in need. And we ask, do I have something to give? Will they use it wisely? Are they really in need? And it shows us that this bottom line attitude is more about the cost to us than the needs of the other. And that's because a bottom line attitude operates from a place of scarcity. You see, scarcity says there's never enough to satisfy all the needs in the world. So what we have, because we have it, is always in demand. So then we think to give up what we have for any reason requires us to make a sacrifice. Because it may leave us, we think, in a position of need. And yet when you look at what we have, folks, we are so rich. I mean, we have a car, we have a home, we have plenty of food, we have a TV, we have healthcare, we have a quality education, we even have pets. I mean, when you consider that the average American spends over $100 a day on things like gas, groceries, eating out, bills, and healthcare, we have an abundance. We don't need a bottom line attitude. Rob Bell, the former pastor at Mars Hill Church up in Grand Rapids, once said, God has blessed America. So the point isn't how God can bless America more, but how America can bless others. Another way to think about this, or saying it, is God has blessed me. So the point isn't how God can bless me more, but how can I bless others? You see, Bell's point is we need to embrace a different type of attitude. We need to embrace an attitude of bounty. Bounty is something that is given generously. That's straight out of Webster's. And as the people of faith, we believe through Christ that we have received the bounty of new life. As people, it is through God's great grace, as Acts 4 says, that we have been given new life. So it's through God's great grace, and through God's great grace alone, I might add, that we have what we need to live. God's grace is bountiful. So an attitude of bounty is recognizing God's bounty. I mean, you can't care about the expenses or the bottom line when your revenues are infinite. Now, in response to God's bounty, the members of Acts 4 Church brought everything they owned, including the proceeds from the sale of land and of homes, and they laid it at the disciples' feet. And the result was that the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed any of their possessions as their own. See, wealth and possessions are symbols of power. And to be a believer is to set aside power. I mean, did Jesus embrace his power on the cross? No. He did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself. When we set aside power, we are imitating Christ. We too are refusing to grasp on to our power. We are testifying that it is God alone who has the power. So when we set aside our wealth, we are trusting God's power, not the power of our possessions, to provide. And God does provide. In Acts 4, no one was in need. You see, the elimination of need proves that God's gifts are not scarce, but abundant. That's why the elimination of need resulted in a community wrapped in God's grace, experiencing true unity. So an attitude of bounty unites us by honoring the power of God over the bottom line. Now, if anyone should be concerned about the bottom line, it's the poor. And yet there's a lot that the poor have taught us about an attitude of bounty. In Mark 12, we met a poor widow coming to give her offering to the temple. Now, in first century Palestine, widows had little to no voice and little to no power. In fact, because of her gender and her status, the poor widow would have been very vulnerable to exploitation and to oppression. So, you can imagine the widow humbly approaching the offering receptacle at the temple treasury, weighed down by the social norms of the time. And yet is still able to take two coins from wherever. The only two coins she has, the only money she has, worth less than 2 cents. And she lays them at the feet of God. The widow despite all of her poverty, in all her bounty, gave all she had to God. As a matter of perspective, the average person today gives 3 to 5% of their income to help the needy or to charity. Now, I imagine that's because they see that 3 to 5% as within their means. The poor widow gave 100% of what she had to God. Desperate and without anything to lose, she longs for God's bounty. You see, the poor know they have no means. The poor know their own poverty. Their empty stomachs, their empty purses, and their empty spirits remind them daily that they are poor. That's why the poor are more likely to display an attitude of bounty and look to God to fill their emptiness. Whereas we in our richness are likely to be blinded by our possessions and our wealth, and we fail to see just how dependent on God we are. So an attitude of bounty gives everything to discover the riches of God. 2 Corinthians 8:9 reminds us that though Jesus was rich, yet for our sake became poor, so that by his poverty we might become rich. Jesus was as rich as one could be because he shared equal status with God. Yet Jesus gave it all up to become human. Jesus experienced all the temptations of being human. Jesus humiliated himself on the cross for our sake. With an attitude of bounty, Jesus spread his arms and offered all of himself for us. So when we give what we have for the needs of others, we reflect the very attitude and the very sacrifice that Jesus made for us. So, next time you see someone in need, instead of asking, do I? Will they? Are they really? Simply act with an attitude of bounty. Because with God, there is no bottom line. Would you pray with me? Loving and gracious God, we see in your Acts 4 church, we see in your widow, your grace. We see in them the recognition that you are truly God. We see in them the recognition that all that they have, no matter how much or how little, is not their own, that it belongs to you. God, we pray as your people and as your church, that as we look at all that we have, we look at all of our richness, that we can see your bounty. That we can see in all of that there are opportunities to help eliminate need. That we can see in all of that, God, not just your grace, but your call as the church to bring what we have to you so that you can use it through us. God, we thank you for the example of your early church and of the poor widow. And God, we pray that we can come before you with an attitude of bounty. Because in you, God, there are no limits. There is no bottom line. We thank you, and we offer this prayer to you in your name. Amen. So in your bulletin, you'll see the two discussion questions. Now I want you to scratch out in both of them where it says holiness and put in bounty. Okay, so the first question is, what is your attitude towards those in need, bottom line, or bounty? Why? And then the second one is, what changes do you need to make so you can have more of an attitude of bounty toward those in need. Okay? So take a little time, circle up with people around you, or if you feel compelled to move, please feel free, and have a great discussion.